The title of the message this evening, for those who may be taking notes, is this: Only One Way of Guidance. There's only one way of guidance. In this world in which we live, if you go into various bookstores or online, there are various books that people have authored, various books which are entitled A Guide to This and A Guide to That, Directions for This and Directions for That, self-help books, all manner of books have been written where people claim to have the answers to everything. You could list an exhaustive list of subjects that people are experts on. Well, we all need guidance in life. We all need guidance in life. Guidance for various things, in various subjects, in various aspects of our life, secular as well as our spiritual walk. Now, someone who is in danger of any kind, someone who is in danger of any kind, any description, will look to take refuge, if they're wise. They will look to take refuge, to find a place whereby they can confidently trust, knowing they are secure and safe from harm. That's just common sense in the everyday fleshly world we live. Kept from whatever it is that they are fleeing from, whatever it is that they consider to be harmful to them. Now, to be a child of God, a true child of God, the true one trusting on the Saviour, the true one who knows God, is to trust, is to take refuge, is to be one who is knowing themselves secure, having absolute confidence and trust in the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a child of God. That is a child of God. You hear from many people who say, well, I have my faith. I say to such, but do you have saving faith? What good is your faith if you don't have that which is the gift of God? Faith on his Son. There are many who say, well, I hope everything will be okay, it will turn out all right, I'll just do my best. No, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. Such people don't have confidence. Such people don't have total assurance. As we will sing later on, they cannot say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Blessed assurance could quite easily, that song, that hymn, could quite easily be entitled, total assurance, Jesus is mine. Total assurance. That is what the Apostle Paul knew above all things. He knew above all things. There are many things he didn't know. And just as the same is the same with all true believers on the Lord Jesus, he knew this one thing. I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. Not I know who it is that I have believed in. Not an intellectual thing. I know whom I have believed. And of course, the Lord Jesus gives the great confidence that we can have, tells us the great assurance, the comfort of hope that we have, therefore, if we do know him. It's one and the same as to have eternal life. This is eternal life, he says, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. To know Jesus Christ is to be complete in him and is to have full assurance of hope. But not only that, is to have the perfect way of guidance for all things. It is to walk in light, Jesus says. We've been called out of darkness and into his marvellous light. He's the light of the world. And the one believing in him shall not walk in darkness anymore, but shall have the light of life. Now, as we look at these two verses here in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, we see verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. If ever there was a memory verse, if ever there was a verse to display in your home for you, for a believer, and I stress, for a believer to look to continually, to remind yourself of continually, is this. It sums everything up. It sums up our total dependence upon the Saviour God. It sums up the total security we have in him and the absolute full total sufficiency that we have in this Saviour God. So firstly, we see this evening, God's people are those who are the called according to his purpose and are such as have fled to Jesus, God's Son, for refuge. Have fled to him for refuge. We are such as have been brought to trust in the Lord. Faith involves trust. Absolute trust in the Lord Jesus. Everyone who ever comes to the Lord Jesus, everyone who has ever given faith on him, there is trust. Trust is involved. Absolute trust that he is who he says he is, that he will do what he says he will do. And we come to him seeking refuge. We've fled to him for refuge. And you who know the Saviour, you who know this Saviour, in all areas of your life, are to look to flee to run to the Lord Jesus with the same complete confidence and trust in him as indeed when you were drawn to believe. When you were drawn to believe on him as your only hope and way of escape from the wrath of God. To know your sins forgiven. To see him as your only righteousness before God. And therefore to be accepted before the Almighty. Believer on the Lord Jesus, there is no difference. There is no difference between walking with Jesus and coming to Jesus for the first time. We are called disciples. We are called to be disciples. There is no difference between the way you came to the Saviour, seeking the forgiveness of your sin, and living your life here in this world as a believer. there is no difference whatsoever. No difference. For it requires total dependence upon the Lord in everything. If you needed him totally to save you, you need him totally to keep you. In Colossians 2 verses 6 and 7, these familiar words, they tell us that that living as a believer, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, is the same as coming to him for the first time. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. Just stop there for a moment. How did you come to the Lord Jesus? How did you come to the Lord Jesus? You know, people, they love to boast of what they did. I did this and I did the other. This is my testimony. This is how I came to the Lord Jesus. This is how I chose to walk with Jesus. No. Nobody chose to walk with Jesus. Jesus came and ever drew you. He came and placed his throne upon your heart and made himself irresistible to you and caused you to see your need of him. And he revealed by his Spirit to you your great need, because he convicted you of your sin and revealed to you that there is the wrath of God which is to come, which you must flee from. He revealed himself to you as being the only way of escape, the only refuge, and the only way of to receive forgiveness with God. He did it. He did it all. You depended upon him from start to finish. And you came therefore in such a way, dependent upon him. You came, as he said, is the only way you can come. You came as a little infant would, simply trusting that he does all things well. You came simply grasping hold of him who's got hold of you already. You simply came to him helpless, hopeless. But yet, knowing, because he had given you faith to believe, knowing that he can cleanse you from all sin. Saying, if you are willing, you can cleanse me. Coming to him saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Knowing he has promised to be merciful. And so you came to him, helpless and hopeless, and yet not without hope. You came not in your own strength, in other words. And that's what the apostle says here. As you received Jesus, so walk you in him. Rooted, even as Jesus taught his disciples and teaches us, he is the vine. He's the vine. We are the branches. And it is he who has engrafted us into the vine. And it is he who sustains us, being the vine. Our goodness and our strength and all that we need to live as a believer, our spiritual food comes from him, not the other way around. And so we're to be rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught. That's the gospel. As you have been taught. The gospel of God's grace. It is from grace, it is from faith to faith. And we are to follow from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And so, as God tells us here, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. It is indeed. Even as we walk as believers in this world, it is to look to Him only. Look to Him only as our only hope, our only strength, our only comfort, knowing that He will sustain us and He will keep us. But these two things are essential if we are to do this. Humility and a faith that trusts in the Lord, which in turn is bowing to His will. We've got to bow to His will in all things. Humble yourself before the living God and He will lift you up. We've got to bow to His will. Thy will be done, not mine. If it's good enough for the Saviour, it's good enough for us. Secondly, we are not to look at anything we would suppose is understanding or wisdom that we might have in any way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. How foolish we are as believers, and we all do it. We trust in the Lord. We trust in the Lord to receive us and forgive us of our sin and to keep us when we walk with the Lord in those early days. And then we go a few years, and then it's almost as if we go into an autopilot where we think we can just carry on in our own strength. No, we can't. We can't. And like Peter of old, we will soon fall flat on our face. We'll soon start to sink. Because we're not looking at the Lord. We're looking away. We're looking to our own strength. In the flesh, none is wise. Not one. Not one. Believer or unbeliever. In the flesh, none is wise, nor understanding that the way that he should take. Not one single one. And of course, the world in general runs around with their fingers in their ear in darkness, refusing to hear the word of God, being wise in their own conceits, thinking they know best, they know better than God. This is not the way of the believer. This is not the way of the child of God. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:25, Proverbs 14:12. So important that God repeated those words. And note, the end are the ways of death. There are many people saying they've got the answer to many things, and they lead people astray in many ways. But they're all the same way. They're all the same way. It's the way that seems right to a man. It's not God's way. Yet, even as a believer, you have no understanding in and of yourself. Oh, that's to be very wise. That's to be made very wise continually. To be continually given that wisdom. We should seek that of God continually. Make me wise to see I have nothing of myself. No idea do you have how you should make decisions in this life. Not the right decisions. No one has a clue of themselves. No way to decipher what direction God is leading you in any way by the leading of your human flesh. None whatsoever. Sure, we can make our own assumptions, we can make our own decisions, but if we do not seek God, we cannot be certain that this is the right way. You see, we live in a world of emotionalism, and it's infected the church. It's infected the church. It's infected the reason of believers, particularly at this time. People are taken over by emotionalism and sentimentality. Their decisions, their thinking, how they understand things is based upon, is based purely upon feeling and emotion, rather than good reason, which comes from seeking God and seeking His way. You see it by the way people are behaving. Even across the Christian world, there are believers who choose not to meet full stop at this time, and they're condemning brethren who are meeting. And the venom that's coming from some is terrible. Follow your feelings in order to find guidance, and mark my words. Follow your feelings in order to find guidance, and you will be led astray. And the religion of this world tells you to follow your feelings. The philosophies of this world tell you to follow your heart and your feelings. The leaders of this world tell you to follow human reasoning. We are not of this world. We are in this world, but not of this world. We are to follow our divine ruler in all things. If we follow our heart, we are told this in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You'd be a fool to say that your heart never leads you astray. You'd be a fool to say that your fleshly self never tempts you to go the way which is not God's way. As the hymn writer says of trusting in the fleshly wisdom or strength, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Even as in that Garden of Gethsemane, when the Lord Jesus took Peter, James and John and told them to pray, as he was overcome by that which he would soon face at the cross. And he found them sleeping, and he said, sleep on, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Beware of the flesh. Beware of yourself. Look to God in all things. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean on His. Lean on His direction. Fourthly, now as true Christians, I don't often use the term Christian because you know, I believe it's just a humdrum title of so many things which are not true believers. But as true Christians, we are faced today, I alluded to it in the prayer, we are faced with a soul searching time. We've got to be mindful of the times, carefully listening to what is going on around us. This strange time where personal and collective freedoms are starting to be eroded, to be threatened. We must be sure, we must be certain as to who we are looking to firstly and foremostly for directing in all areas and circumstances of life. Time is coming. I'm no prophet. I'm just seeing what's going on around me. I'm seeing what we were promised in the scriptures. In the world you'll have tribulation. The world hates Christ. And so the world hates God's people. The world is not the friend of Christ. And the world is not the friend of God's people. And the world will not seek the good of the church first. Never has done and never will do. We've got to beware. As our text says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. And he shall direct your paths. We see here, in all your ways. Your ways means your journey. Your journey. We certainly are on a journey. We need to see this continually. We are on a journey. This is not our home. We don't ultimately belong here. We're passing through. There, brethren, we're passing through to a better place. This is not some apocalyptic sermon, but it's just the truth of God's word. We're to live as those passing through. That's our witness. That's our witness in this world. We live as those who are not worldly. The one who is called by God's grace in his Son, the Lord Jesus, has indeed embarked upon a journey. Running a race. We have set out upon that journey, called to live as a pilgrim in this world, en route, not with an uncertainty, not waiting for the next details of where are we going. We have embarked upon a journey and we're en route to a better place that we have been promised. We have been promised. We do not need to fret, therefore. We do not need to fret and worry overly. We are headed for what Hebrews 11 calls a city made without hands, whose founder and maker is God. This world is passing fast away. But we have a sure and certain hope. And on this journey, we therefore need guidance all the way. We talked earlier on about guidebooks. The only guidance we have is what God has told us. We have it. We have the guidance. We have the sure and certain word that tells us the way. That tells us his will. That leads us. That gives us all the answers we need. There are some answers we don't receive because God withholds them from us. But he has told us all that we need to know. And so first, you must know you must know God. Which is interesting. Because as we read these words here, in all your ways acknowledge him, it quite literally means know him. Know him. And so you can't know God in all your ways unless you know God. Is there someone listening now who does not know God? You can't acknowledge God if you don't know God. And you can't know God unless you come in repentance and faith, believing on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only way, truth and life. To know God. First, you must know God to be your God and Saviour. And the call of his grace to believe unto the forgiveness of sins. Yet as a believer, yet as one who's known that call of grace, one who has truly come in repentance and faith to God, and who knows God through his Son. Yet daily, as the elect of God, you must look to the Saviour. For this, to know God means knowing also. Continually knowing. We're to continually search out our beloved. As we read in the Song of Solomon, where is my beloved? Each day, seeking him out in his word, seeking him out in prayer. To know him. To know him afresh each day. Setting him ever before you in all that you do. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, setting the Lord Jesus before you, ever before your face. And oh, how we need to learn these words. Oh, how we need to learn constantly these words and be stopped in our tracks. These words in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be stilled. Be quiet. Stop fretting. Meditate on me. Consider me. Be still. Hear me. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still. Be still. Solomon says here, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. The Lord shall direct. The Lord shall make the way plain. The Lord shall make the way clear. But he always makes it clear by his word. Always. Always. Someone stands up and tells you,
the Lord is telling me this. No, he's not. You show me that in the Word of God. The Lord is not telling one any new way. He speaks by his word. He has spoken. In his last days, he has spoken by his Son, for whom he made the worlds. How does the Lord God direct the paths of his people? By feeling, by reasoning, by human reasoning? Certainly not. It is by his revealed will in this word and this alone. This word, which by the gospel was preached to you, the gospel of his grace, not the free will gospel that says you can choose to do anything, not the free will gospel that says that Christ died for all men, which is not the truth, but the gospel of God's sovereign free grace that says he will save his people from their sins. Of him who said, all that the Father has given unto me, I should lose nothing. And I will raise them up at the last day. The psalmist wisely says in Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Not just the written word in this sense, but also him who is the incarnate word, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us his Spirit also, who is the one that gives us the peace and confidence, witnessing to our own spirit that we are children of God, witnessing to us that we are in Christ Jesus. As God's word tells us in Ephesians 1, verse 13, in him you also trusted, this is the Lord Jesus, after you heard the word of truth. And notice that, after you heard the word of truth. No one ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ by lies, by falsehood. Even in this last 24 hours, someone professing to be a believer said, oh no, don't preach the gospel at this time. Don't send people the gospel at this time. You're going to aggravate them. Aggravate them so that they'll be lost forever. Does such a one know God? The gospel is the only power of God unto salvation. To everyone who believes. Unto them. Not because they believe, but unto them. This is the only way, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Being redeemed already at the cross, being chosen from before the foundation of the world in Christ Jesus, redeemed at the cross, and indeed regenerated, born again of the Spirit, given new life in him, and faith toward Christ, having received the forgiveness of sins, the benefit of that redemption, yet the redemption is fully known when we shall be brought to forever be with the Lord. But we have, in the meantime, we have this earnest of our inheritance, the Spirit of God, who never lies. And the Spirit always
leads God's elect to the Word of God, to the Scriptures, to the gospel of His grace, to Jesus who is the Word. Never leads us any other way. Never leads us any other way. And so, as we draw to a close, I challenge each one of us, don't be as the world around. Don't be as all those around you. Don't be as your family and your friends, looking this way and that. Do not rely upon what you think you know, or you think anyone else knows, in and of yourself. Come afresh, daily and only, to the Lord, seeking guidance from His voice alone, from His word alone. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You who do not know God, look to Jesus by faith. Look to Jesus by faith. Trust Him completely. Trust in His finished work at the cross completely. Who was crucified, the substitute for the sins of His people, and rose again victoriously, and who ever lives to make intercession before the Almighty for those who come to God by Him. Behold the Lord Jesus. He is the only guide who leads to life eternal. Amen.